seated. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Hallelujah. There's a good one for you, Joe. Right there. That's one you need to stand on, brother. God just told me that's what you need to stand on. Isaiah 40, verse 29. Hallelujah. God is so good, though. And that's why, I guess, that song, I love that song, as you can see. I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. And you showed up and patched me up like you do every time. But I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around. Yeah, ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty. That's what I hope you find me praising your name no matter what comes, because I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
Yes.
Is he God?
He
is good. God Almighty. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. That was what makes a good day. A good day. You started out with Jesus in the morning, you take your noontime break with Jesus, and you take your evening with Jesus.
Amen.
What a completion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, we need Jesus more than ever now because of the trying, difficult, and highly distressing times we are facing. Not just in our nation and globally, which we can see, but also some of us got it going on within ourselves. We got things we're dealing with.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
Yeah. We all do. So, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down, boom! That's how you seal it. So, now Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8 here. It says, you will hear about wars that are being fought. Are we not hearing about wars that are being fought? And you will hear stories about other wars beginning. I like what Jesus says then. But don't be afraid.
That's right.
These things must happen because the end, before the end comes. Nations will fight against other nations. Kingdoms will fight against other kingdoms. There will be times when there is no food for people to eat, and there will be earthquakes in different places. And we've seen that. These things are only the beginning of troubles, like the first pains of a woman giving birth. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Now, I never experienced the birth pains. But my wife did. And when she was holding onto my hand, I thought she broke it.
That's right.
So I have no idea, ladies. But it must be severe. Now, but in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says this real simple. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He assures us he will be with us until the very end of time. Jesus has promised that his power and presence will be with his church until he returns and consummates his kingdom. I'm going to say that again because you might not. His power and presence will be with his church. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus was talking to his disciples and said, who do they say I am? And they had all kind of descriptions, did they not? And when Peter answered him, what'd he say? You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. So he responded, he says, and upon this rock I will build my church. What he's building his church on is the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he said. I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah. Shall not be victorious over it. His church must stay united. You hear that? We must stay united. Like it. Do not be afraid. Know how strong we are together. See, we can guard against letting no weapon form against us. It's promised in the Word. That's why we pray that. We say when we pray that. No weapon, say no weapon,
no weapon
formed against me,
shall
prosper. We are the church, and we are victorious. He says, have faith. I am with you always. I will be with you until the end of time. While we're walking here on the earth, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Absolutely not. And we are promised eternal life with him, where we are not bound by time. For in eternity, there is no time or limit by it. Isn't that going to be nice? Get up there, get that new body, all refreshed.
Yeah.
Back to them sweet moves again. Tim doing that. Yeah, have it all back.
Amen.
Yeah. And you won't age.
Amen.
Think about that. Because what we deal with here is time, and time ages us.
Yeah.
See, the world puts so much on us. Weighs us down. Though when you have that, it brings a tendency to weigh us down, because it puts us into those modes where the head starts thinking, and then what kicks in? All these other thoughts. And it just works you up. You start to get depressed. You get these anxiety attacks that come upon you, and it just ages the body. That's what ages us. Those pressures. And you know who puts the pressures on us? We do.
Yeah.
We put those pressures on ourselves. When something starts happening like that, you need to pick up the phone and call a believer. That who will believe with you and give you some word to encourage you to get you through that. Why wait till it's a full-blown one? Because by that time, you don't want to talk to nobody. You don't even want to talk to God sometimes. You just want to go out there and wallow and lay on the yard and go, oh, Jesus. You know, and that's where we find ourselves. But what did that accomplish for you? Nothing. You probably got grass stains on your clothes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, greetings from Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. See, I was sent to help God's chosen people have faith and understanding the truth that produces a life of devotion to God. And he's still doing that today through his writings. Paul's writings, it didn't quit. That he was inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. Everything he did, that it was documented. It was documented for us. It was documented for us. And it goes on to say, God promised that life to us, that eternal life, before time began. And God does not lie. Why are we so set on what we see in our world? Go focus on Him. Yes, come on. That's where our focus has got to be, on Him, not on the world and the surroundings. Or when your body starts speaking to you, speak to your body. Speak to your body. I have to speak to my body all the time. Oh, you do, Pastor? Yeah. But when you're in the anointing, I'm just telling you, brother, when you're in the anointing, woo! I just wish I could be in the anointing 24 hours a day. I'm just telling you. There's something about the anointing. So the more we can draw, and that's why the more we draw closer to Him, He draws closer to us, and that anointing is just going to drip off of Him onto us. Hallelujah. And that's when you're going to find the better part of life for you.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But that's what he said. God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Yeah.
What's he spoken? Mm-hmm. Right here.
Yep.
He'll make it good. You know what our part is? Have faith.
Yeah.
Faith.
Simply believe.
Yeah. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Yeah. Jesus tells us in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
You believe in God. Believe also in me. All I got to say is, like Father, like Son.
Yeah.
And Jesus says in John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He says, I know my sheep. Because
yeah.
My sheep know me. Now, you jump down at verse 27 to 30 here. That my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And he says, and they follow me. The following of the sheep here is a metaphor for faith. You get that? Real simple. His sheep have faith in him. Yeah, like I say, I used to picture Jesus holding a little lamb, and I think it is sheep. And I used to think that's what Jesus was. And then I found out who Jesus was, okay, to me. Since that day, I just said to myself, real men love Jesus. That's real men. But then I got to thinking, I got that picture now. You know what? Jesus sitting there. He got this big old lamb sitting there on his lap. And he just petting, making sure I'm in good shape. I got you. Makes you feel good about yourself. You know, it's a different, when you look at it differently. You know, I thought he was a wimp. Man, I'll take him any day holding me.
Exactly right.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they have faith in me. I give my sheep eternal life. They will never die, and no one can take them out of my hand. My Father is the one who gave them to me, and He is greater than all. No one can steal my sheep out of my hand. The Father and I are one. Got that? The Father and I are one. Like Father, like Son. They're the same. He used to tell his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he painted a picture for us in his word with what he said. So all we have to do is look at Jesus and we know who God is. And Jesus loved us to his death. God loves us. God really loves us. In Hebrews 13:5, God himself has said, I will not relax my hold on you. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. And he emphasized that when he said, I will not, I will not, I will not relax my hold on you. He's got you in his hand. So when he's sitting on his lap and he's got you in his hands, man, can you just feel it? Can you just picture that? I mean, is that so comforting to know Jesus got his hands on you? How? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is verse 8. But I got to get it to you in the Amplified Classic. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassment and are perplexed and unable to find our way out, but not driven to despair. That is the complete loss and absence of hope. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We do not stand alone. He stands with us. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Never. Paul knows what he's talking about here. He experienced it. You flip to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And Paul, he's preaching a word at Lystra. He's preaching a word there. And gets a guy healed. He sees him, he's lame. Lame from birth. Not an accident, from birth. Tim, the man was not complete from birth. But Paul looked at him and said, he's been listening to the preaching of the word, what I've been saying about Jesus. So he looked at the man and he says, get up and walk.
Yeah.
You know what? The man got up and walked. The man was healed. Right in front of the whole crowd. Paul went on about his business. He didn't doubt when he spoke because he knew the man had built himself up in faith enough to receive. Are we built up enough in faith to receive?
Amen.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
So this all happens, but the Jews and some of the Greeks, they ain't happy. They still aren't happy. They don't like the message he's preaching. So there's a division there that's going on. So anyhow, Paul moves on. And he continues to preach. So we'll just pick up there. On verse 14, it says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, where he had been preaching. And They won the crowd over. They turned him against Paul. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city thinking he was dead. A man was stoned. And they drug him out of the city. Now, you could tell if the man is, nothing happened to him. They threw him down. But after, the disciples had gathered around him, he got up, went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derea. Can you imagine that? Paul gets up, standing there all sitting around. He's brushing himself off. Wow, that's an experience I'll never forget. Okay, Lord, what's next? He goes back into the city and preaches some more and then leaves and goes to his next assignment. The man was stoned to death. So I think he can tell him, he knows what he's talking about when he writes that in 2 Corinthians. In Psalm, we're going to read Psalm 23. Let's read Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's read that with me. This is in the New King James, if you got it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what's in that shadow, is fear. It's fear. It's what he's talking about here. Do you fear death? Do you fear death? You better say no. That's what he went to the cross for. Death has no sting. It's gone. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. Can you say that real loud? My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. His word speaking to us. He's our shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Wow. Well, in Proverbs 22, verse 4, and this is the Amplified Classic Edition, but it says, the reward of humility, that's the word we're going to focus on, and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Now that fear is reverential. Make sure you understand that. You know, and sometimes a lot of you might be saying, well, I know that. You know, there are some that don't. There are things that I used to hear and didn't hear. I would hear them, but I wouldn't hear them until I got into it myself. You can hear a lot of things being preached, a lot of scripture being read, but if you don't pick up on certain things, you You will not know that.
Right.
So it's a reverential fear. But there is strength in humility before God. And that song said, I will bow down. It kept speaking to me there. Because it lines up right here. The Bible defines humility as the fear of the Lord. Its etymological root is in the Latin word humus, H-U-M-U-S, meaning of the earth. To humble, okay, to be humble is to be face down in the dirt, submitting to the authority of another without personal pride. Not forced into it, but to get down on your knees. This is the proper position before the Lord. We're to kneel before Him in respect and honor for who He is. Elohim, our Creator, the Creator of the universe and everything in it. And we must remember, He is the Lord, Jehovah. He is Adonai. He's the one that's in control. He's the one with all power, with all authority. And He's on our side. He is not against us. He is for us. Because it comes down to how much do you believe He loves you? And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Amen. We must remember we face a formidable opponent who is very deceiving, always tries to get control. If he can establish control, it's not a good place to be. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There's another one. Do you believe that? You know, that's a little weak because that means I'm not sure. I'm going to speak and agree with you. Maybe if I speak and agree with you, then it'll happen for me. No, he already said it's happening for you. See, we keep wanting to put it out there someplace.
It's now.
How? It's now. That's yes. Right, brother. It's now. It's now when you got to take it.
Yes.
See, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say there is strength in humility for God. Now, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world.
Now, preach down right there. Just that.
There are two commands here in verse 7. And they must be followed in the order in which they are given. Okay? Now the first is, we must humble ourselves before God by abandoning our selfish pride.
Yeah, say that again, Pastor.
Whew. We got to abandon our selfish pride.
Amen.
Humbling yourselves before the Lord will also involves this. It involves putting on the whole armor of God. It's an image that includes everything from placing our faith in Him to immersing ourselves in the truth of God's Word. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're gonna read about the armor of God right here. And it tells us, put on the armor of God. The whole armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the schemes he comes up with against us. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's in the atmosphere and out above, out there. They don't operate in the third heaven. That is where God is. And they ain't there. Ain't none of that there where he's at. I just want to make sure you understand that. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16, right here. Above all, you hear that? Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts are the attacks from Satan, as well as his intimidation, condemnation, accusations, his lies, delusions, temptations, tests, provocations, divisions, doubts, questioning, suggestions, instigations, snares, criticisms, judgments, despising, mockery, jealousy, and slandering. And the list goes on. The evil one knows the power of words, Vic, and their effect upon us, you see. He knows that. And he wants to control our thought lives so that we will begin to speak negative confessions over ourselves, over our family, and over other people. But God's shield is called the shield of faith. Strong faith, impenetrable shield. How do we get faith? Comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay. Now, in ancient times, a soldier's most important tool was a shield. It was essential to protect against enemy attacks, whether swords, arrows, stones, spears, or other forms. The beauty of a Roman shield was its ability to resist nearly any type of attack. See, this is why Paul's pointing this out. See, in this context, Paul notes that the shield can extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He names who he is, the wicked one. The attack he mentions is fiery darts. It was a common tactic in ancient wars. Even a breastplate could be pierced with a dart. Shields prone to catch fire were vulnerable. So Roman soldiers, their shields were lined with leather. And usually they would soak them down with water before the battle. Yeah. Psst! Psst! Yes, sir. Hear the sound of that?
Yes, sir. Quench the fire. That's right.
See, in other words, for us, the one providing the armor, God, gives us, his troops, equipment perfectly suited to survive the enemy's onslaught.
Hallelujah.
But he noticed he called him the wicked one. Okay? In Matthew 6:13, Jesus teaches to pray for protection against Satan as the wicked one. See? He's naming him out. Satan cannot be everywhere at once, since he is not God. Yet Paul seems to indicate Satan's attempts to attack every believer. he can. Like a military commander, okay, he can attack us indirectly through his evil lieutenant spiritual commanders and their demons under their control. You get that? He knows how to work. He can't be everywhere. So right now, he's up here, and he's over here leading maybe this attack, but then he's got his lieutenants doing elsewhere, and those lieutenants got those demons that are flying around there. He's a crafty, but he can't be everywhere at once. You know what the other thing is? He can't read your thoughts. He can plant thoughts in your head because he knows what your mind can do. He can plant them, but he can't read them. Even though you're going through in your head and you start reasoning out, just don't say it. Don't say it. Because when you say it, you start to believe it. Yeah. And he says, I got my foot in the door. And he just keeps it up. Next thing you know, he's squishing in. And next thing you know, the door is wide open. And it's wide open. But let me bring this point up to you. Because of the unity we need to be in the body. You see, it's interesting. The shield is the only defensive piece of armor which can also protect other people. Ancient soldiers would typically fight in formation, interlocking their shields. Are you starting to hear this now? This meant each man protected both himself and others with his shield. In the community of believers, cooperation and unity and holiness are crucial. When we work in formation, we form a wall of faith, which makes the entire church safer and stronger. Our faith, locked together, believing for something, unwaveringly. You can't be double-minded when it comes to this kind of stuff. Because you start doing that and you drop your shield, you broke the wall.
That's right.
Y'all broke open the wall. Because that's what the enemy wants to do, break the wall. Now, if it breaks the wall, he can get in, he can destroy the church.
A little here, a little there.
So that's why I'm just telling you, each one of us must be there in faith, standing. And when we stand, stand strong. That is why the devil works hard on division. See, and the reason is because we become more vulnerable and easier prey for him. We need one another.
Yes, we do.
We need that interlocking of our faith. But back to, okay, verse 13. And take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Through all the difficulties, we must push through. And we must be praying. We must be praying. We must be those watchmen. Watchmen to alert the others to what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, what's going on. That's why from the pulpit, some of the things we have to bring forth to bring clarity in what's going on in the world. Because if you're listening to the mainstream news, I'm telling you, you are not getting the full report. You're not getting what's going on. You are getting lied to every day. And I'm telling you, it's on tape. It's what it is. It's a fact. They lie. So we got to be watchmen. You know, the first one who was supposed to be a watchman, his name was Adam. And he was supposed to be watching over the garden. And he was not watching. He was too busy watching his woman.
Yeah.
The enemy come in. And he let him go talk to her.
Yeah.
And because he loved the woman, he said, yeah, I'll take a bite of that apple. And you know, that wasn't a problem. You know, the problem was, he tried to cover it up with fig leaves. He tried to cover it up before God. We can't cover it up. We can't cover it up. That's why when you read in the Bible and you say to be a watchman, what we got to be watching for? I mean, this is what put us in a place where we're at because Adam didn't do his job. He wasn't a watchman over the garden and everything in it. And his woman was part of the garden. And then what did he do? He said, well, Lord, you gave her to me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you covered it up. Why didn't you just come to me and say, hey, this is what we did, Lord. What can we do to repent to get this straightened back out? No, he didn't go down that road. He tried to cover it up. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Just take them to him. And we're getting there. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, again, okay. In James 4, 7, 8. So, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. We cannot be set on God and the world because there will be a constant conflict within us. But what's it say there? We are to humble ourselves.
Right.
Who's the we? Are you getting that? Who's the we? That's at least each and every one of us. We are to resist the devil. We resist the devil.
That's right.
God's not going to resist the devil. We are to resist the devil.
Right.
He has no authority over you or me.
Amen.
You resist him and he's going to go running.
That's right.
Lee got her shirt on today. Run, devil, run. Look out, she's coming. We are the ones who are to come close to God. See, when we start drawing closer to him, he will get closer to us. See, it's we. We must make this choice. We must make that choice. And once you make that choice, how about acting on it? Yeah, I'm going to do it. How about showing it? Faith without works is?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I like this group. I'm going to keep you guys, sign you guys up for next Sunday. Hallelujah. So, we need to confess our sins to Jesus and recognize that Jesus has already paid the price for our sins. So that means we can receive God's forgiveness and remember the sin no more. Who's to not remember the sin? We. See, if we don't, it'll be like dragging a cement block behind you constantly.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
And the more sin, the more cement blocks. Are you going to go anywhere? Are you going to be able to do anything for God? No. Got to get rid of those cement blocks which are holding us back. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. The devil, though, he wants to try to remind us of those past sins that have been cleansed by the blood. That is why we are to resist the devil and take no thoughts contrary to God's word. Remember, he's choking on the blood that ran down that cross. Say, get on out of here.
Get on up and leave.
Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Yeah. Now, the message, Bob, we're going to finish up here. Teddy's been waving that sign back here, so I guess I got to get going here. Okay, we'll see if the Holy Ghost will speed up, Ted. But that same scripture now in the Message Bible, I just got to love it. It says, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud, no, to the devil, and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God, and he will be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It is the only way you'll get on your feet. We are not alone. God really loves us. His mercy is enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing. If you're needing forgiveness or healing, his mercy is enough. Oh, this is our hope. For from his cross, he has spoken these words. It is finished. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Ted.